Welcome to Simple Living Works Podcast, Episode 60. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, visual artist Phil Petrie, head of Simple Living Committee at the St. Paul's Episcopal Cathedral, San Diego, California. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. Well, it's been my pleasure on this podcast to speak to authors and simple living activists, and it's a special delight today to speak to an artist. And I mean that in a visual artist, because Phil Petrie is leading a simple living group at St. Paul's Cathedral in San Diego. Now, back in the late 1990s, I tried to leave a Simplicity Circle back when Cecile Andrews was getting Simplicity Circles really going, and didn't have a lot of success. I taught a class at a local community college, so I'm just really glad to talk to Phil and find out how he's keeping it going. So, welcome, Phil, and please start off by telling us something about the mechanics, about how this group works, just the real basic mechanics, you know, how often you meet, where you meet, that kind of thing.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see. We've been going for about 7 years, and the group started because there were a number of us that were in a book study, reading a book edited by Michael Scott called Simpler Living. And we felt after the book study that really we should do more than just read this book. We should try to put some of these practices into action, or at least in some way move towards some kind of action, some kind of living out of these ideals. And so we did. We proceeded, and we sort of had a rollout event with a PowerPoint. There were, I think at the beginning, there were about 6 of us that were involved trying to get this started. And actually now, on the committee, there's about 8 of us. So we've generally held about at that line, sort of from maybe 4 to 8 people that are on the committee. I suppose one of the reasons, perhaps, that this has been able to keep going, is that we are as much devoted to educating the parishioners at St. Paul's about various things to do with not just simple living, but creation care in general. And I want to say more about that in a minute, the various sort of topics we look at. But in other words, where a lot of what we're doing is putting together programs that we provide to the church, that are there at the church, that people come to. And, and then whatever happens as a result of that. Hopefully they make small changes, or who knows. But that's a lot of what we do. We are not as much coming together to constantly compare notes about how we are living more simply. That can be a function of what we do, and we do a little bit of that. But in a sense, we're more kind of about creating programs that have to do with this, speaking very broadly. And I should also say that the focus of simpler living is both what I like to call hyper-consumerism, and that the whole simple living movement is in reaction to, and then what I also call the ecological crisis, what I think most of us would say. So climate change, species extinction, ocean acidification, you name it, all the various negative impacts that we are having on the planet. And we are specifically seeking a Christian response to those two things. And of course, they're very related, because in large part, the ecological crisis is driven by our constant consumption of resources in the developed world. So that may make it a little bit easier than what you were trying to do, because the hope is that those of us who are on the committee are changing our lives, but we are not making that a kind of requirement or You know, in a certain sense, that's not actually the focus of the ministry. As I say, it's more about putting together educational programs, and I'd love to talk more about that. I don't want to just blather on, so I want you to feel free to jump in with whatever questions.
Sure. Yes. Well, I've worked, I've organized and had a green team at one of the congregations that I was at in Iowa, at St. Mark Lutheran Church, and so I'm familiar with the concept of creation care group, and we put on, you know, programs, adult forums, that kind of thing. You know, we've gone further now. We don't just call it Green's Team. We call it the creation crisis. We think global warming sounds like a nice day at the beach. So, you know, and climate change, change, everything changes, you know. So, no, we call it creation crisis. But I'm really glad to see that. Now, again, just from the mechanics point of view, how often do you have these programs for your parish, and approximately how many attend?
Sure. Okay. We probably have about 8 to 10 events a year. So, you know, not one a month. Although I guess some of these things are what I tend to call targets of opportunity. Like they're not an event maybe that we put on, but they're an event where somebody contacted us because they're aware of Simple Living to get me to come speak or something of that kind. Just as an example of that, there is here in San Diego, there is a Good Friday walk with the suffering that is held downtown with the Stations of the Cross. It was put together by the Catholic diocese, and they're still the ones that run it. I speak at one of the stations every year. So that's not really a Simple Living event, but it is something that I'm doing as a Simple Living representative. But the events that we actually put on, there are film potlucks that we do, sort of slow food potluck with films. And I like to mix it up. I like both documentaries like Food Inc. or Gasland, or there was a film on the colony collapse disorder with bees, More Than Honey, to mix it up with fiction films. Miyazaki's Spirited Away is a wonderful film that I think has a very deep ecological conscience in it. The 80s film Local Hero is a lovely film about slowing down and living a little more simply, getting away from this capitalist rush, buy stuff. And so the film potluck thing, we probably have about 2 to 3 of those a year. So not that many of those. We have workshops. We've had workshops on making your own cheese, on being a locavore, on making your own jams. Workshop with Victory Gardens, which is again an organization here in San Diego about, you know, raising your own vegetables and fruits. And this was container gardening, trying to make it very easy for people, even in apartments, to do. Let's see. We've had some retreats. One of the parishioners had she has a lovely sort of garden around her house with a labyrinth they've actually put in as well. So not exactly simpler, but so she hosted us for a kind of garden retreat, and people were just able to kind of spend some time. We had some prayers together, and because to me the spiritual part is very, very important. If we're not doing this as Christians and doing this, you know, to serve God and humanity, then I don't know why we'd be doing it in a church. So to me, that's the core, and we always try to have some pieces that specifically address that. We've got coming up actually an event that will address that called Seeking Simplicity, and I know your friend Lee Van Ham is one of our presenters there, and Lee will do, as long as he's fully recovered, he'll do a terrific job. But the point of Seeking Simplicity will be sort of, there are three workshops: Seeking the Pearl, so the idea of getting your spiritual life on a firm foundation, basically cultivating your relationship with God, with Jesus, and with prayer and so forth. We have a nun who happens to be my spiritual director who will be leading that one. And then I think the more we are in touch with God and what God would have us do, the deeper our relationship with God, the less we need stuff. Stuff is a poor surrogate for God, in my opinion, which is one reason our very materialistic, somewhat atheistic or agnostic society is so awash in stuff. We're filling a God-sized hole, right? So Lee will talk about living with less, living more with what you need as opposed to what you just want. And then lastly, we're going to look at kind of following God's call, using our time better, again, kind of growing out of our relationship with God. And that may mean saying no to things. I feel strongly we are all way too busy. There's way too much stuff going on. We are producing too much stuff, newsletters, this and that. And I just think we need to scale back on all that and do less and do it better. So that's kind of what the focus of that piece will be. And let's see, what else? We've done a lot of different things. I mean, we've tried some unsuccessful things. Let me tell you one that was a dud. Two that were duds. We had an alternative transportation Sunday. This was in our first year, and we were all excited about the various things we could do. And so we thought, we'll try to get the whole congregation, and this, like many Episcopal churches, is an aging congregation, try to get them to attend church service with public transportation, perhaps biking if they're close enough, walking. And we tried to lay the groundwork for that and have a table out on coffee hour and encourage people to do this and kind of sign up and tell us how they were going to get there. And we had a forum about electric cars. It didn't work very well. It wasn't enough time for people to make the transition. The public transportation system on Sunday morning was lousy. So even one guy on the committee was complaining a great deal about how long it took him to get to the cathedral by public transportation. So, you know, you live and learn. It was a good idea, I still think, but we didn't structure it well. We didn't apply it correctly, and you learn from those things. We've also had a game night. And that's an attempt to kind of get people away from their electronics. The whole idea was you check your electronics at the door, including your cell phone. You come in with other folks at the cathedral in what we call the guild room, and you just play board games or even, you know, Twister, Ring Toss, try to get families and a range of ages to do it. First couple times we had that was very successful. And people enjoyed it, and people said, oh, you know, when are you going to do this again? And we had one woman join the committee who said, you know what, I think we should do this every month, blah, blah, blah. Well, what happened is, and I don't think it's because we didn't do it every month, it began to peter out, and people were too busy. I felt like I was often pressuring people to try to go to this just to get it off the ground, you know. Anyway, so, again, I don't think we're going to do that again. It's a nice idea, but... people are busier than too busy to kind of make that really work. And we were getting for that at the last game night, I think we had 8 people, and this just wasn't enough. So you asked me about attendance. Let me back up on that. I'd say our best attended events would be around 50, and our probably least is kind of more like 8. So we kind of run the gamut there. Probably average is around 25 to 30. I would say, for the things we do. And I'm happy with that. I think that's fine. You know, it's nice if you can get 100 people out for something, but I realize we're sort of a niche. We're a niche kind of thing. And people will come who really wish to come.
Phil, so many ideas are popping in my head, so I need to ask some more questions here. First of all, are you marketing this to reach out into the community? Or are you really focusing on your own congregation?
You know, that's a very good question. And it's a question we've talked about on the committee. We do a little bit of kind of outreach to the rest of the community to try to pull people in. We have, you know, put on Facebook events. Put the events on Facebook. We don't have really a budget. Okay, so in terms of advertising... we don't really have any money to put toward that. And I don't know that we have the people power and the energy to kind of really get that off the ground anyway. So we haven't done much in terms of advertising in any kind of local media. Most of our events are more kind of in reach, I think you could say, more directed at the congregation there. But that's not an issue of we would prefer people not to come from outside at all. We would love to have as many people come to all these things as possible. It's just, you know, one of the things I look at is, I mean, just to give you a story, I'm sure you're aware of it, how this kind of thing works. When I started this, as a group of us started Simpler Living, my vision was I would be the convener for the first year, and we had a co-convener, and then the co-convener would step into the role of convener the following year. And so we would keep that model and try to really rotate the leadership. Well, the gal who was our co-convener left after about the first year. There were some personality issues that we had to negotiate, and she's wound up leading the cathedral anyway as a whole. So she left. For a while, I had a co-convener, but that's the closest I've ever gotten to leaving the convener position. So, and I keep bringing this up at meetings saying, you know, I really believe it's good, it's healthy to change leadership. I don't want to be the sort of default dictator here with this kind of stuff. But the honest truth is people are like, nope, we're fine. You just keep doing what you're doing. So I say all that by way of I have to be very clear on what I can and can't do. There are things that time constraints, you know, things I'm willing to put into an event to make it successful. And then I sort of draw a line and say, you know, I just can't do this other piece. So, and if somebody else can step up, that's great. But if they don't, they don't. I actually think to some extent that has enabled us to keep going because nobody's burned out. I'm not burned out yet. And if people have left, I don't think it's generally because they burned out. It's more that things changed, that maybe there was a personality issue. You know, these things can happen. But so, you know, we within the cathedral itself, we're pretty established. People know who we are, and they know what we stand for, I think, by and large. And I think they appreciate that we're there. And I become kind of the go-to guy for issues of climate change and this and that. You know, we've been talking about putting solar on the cathedral and all that kind of stuff sort of tends to come to me or to the committee. But by the same token, we don't sort of keep growing and become huge. You know, it's that's not happening either. It's kind of plateaued. And as I think that's okay. Again, I think this sort of growth, endless growth model is part of what's got us into trouble on a planetary way. And, you know, you look at your limits and do what you can do inside your limits. So.
Well, I'm a member of the outreach committee for our small congregation here in Templeton, California, and we're looking at a variety of ways to reach out into the community, and I'm going to be proposing some of ideas like those that you're using, so we'll have to see if that really works as an outreach method. If not, hopefully it works as an in-reach method, because the principles of voluntary simplicity are really important for all aspects of our life. You know, as I say in the introduction to the podcast, you know, this is a faithful, effective, satisfying, comprehensive lifestyle. This is not about growing a few tomatoes and wearing your old clothes. And so, you know, when you say that you're involved primarily with climate change, well, that is one of the five life standards of voluntary simplicity. And in old language, that's called cherish the natural order. And so that's right on the mark, Phil, as far as the five life standards of living more with less. Now,
can I add something there? Because a piece, and again, we haven't, the only, I guess, time we've maybe addressed this through Simpler Living is we used to do a kind of Simpler Living tips that would be printed in the bulletin, and then they felt that they were taking up too much space in the bulletin, so they now want them in the blog. But we do occasionally with a blog. But one of the things I feel strongly about is we need to make sure that not only our generation, I'm 57, but and you know, older generations, but that the younger kids are walking in nature, are getting out into nature and spending some time there so that they learn about it from the inside and they really do care about it. Because I think otherwise it becomes a total abstraction. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's good to save the panda bears, but I'm just busy on my phone, and you know, I barely seen a forest grove or something. I just think that's so bizarre, and it's happening so rapidly. So, you know, I mean, I think addressing climate change is huge, and we've done a little bit on that at the cathedral, and I'm very active with another group, SanDiego350.org, which does a lot with climate change. That is the focus. But I also think there's things of lifestyle issues that are under threat that need to be nourished, because it's just crazy. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, I encourage everybody on our committee to, you know, get out and walk. Get out and, you know, even if it's just walking around the neighborhood, walk as much as you can. Do that kind of stuff. Get in touch with the real world, not just this digital thing that we're. Anyway, that's my little beef. So.
Well, I'll share an idea with you, Phil, that we're going to try this coming summer, and we're trying to make our parishioners more aware of food waste. As I'm sure you're aware, 40% of the food in the United States goes to waste, either in the fields or in our refrigerators or wherever. 40% of our food goes to waste. And so we've come up with a concept, which we'd be glad for you to steal, if you like. It's going to be Ugly Food Sunday.
That's very nice. I like that.
That's Ugly Food Sunday. And we're going to have a potluck, and we're going to encourage everybody to make potluck pieces using imperfect food. Because so many, in so many cases, people won't buy fruits or vegetables if they're not perfect. Now, I don't know whether you heard about it, but just recently, France passed a law, a national law, that supermarkets must give away food that does not sell. Food that's passed.
Good for them.
Past its sell-by date, which of course would be a lot of fruits and vegetables, must be given away. It cannot be thrown away. You know, we're having a hard enough time just getting people to recycle or compost, you know, food instead of throwing it in the trash. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really good example. Out of this Ugly Food Sunday, of course, we'll talk. We'll be planning it more after the first of the year, but it could involve a sermon or two. It could involve a film or two. And hopefully we'll be reaching out into the community with the concept, not trying to get people necessarily to come to church that day. We're not trying to pull them from their own churches, but rather they might want to come to the Ugly Food Potluck out of curiosity, or bring their ugliest squash, you know, to the event. But we're going to see if we can catch some attention with a clever idea like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you working at all with food waste?
You know, food waste particularly, probably not. We haven't done too much with that. We've done quite a bit, though, with food. I've already mentioned the sort of jam making and cheese making. One of the things that we've done, and lately not so successful, just because we need to keep reminding parishioners constantly about this because they forget. But we have a table out at coffee hour twice a month. It's the first and third Sundays of the month. There's a Simple Living table out, and we have what we call produce swap, where if people have excess produce at home that they can't use, they should bring it in. They will just leave it on the table, and none of their folks can take it away. And people love it. I mean, it's a great thing for people to do, and they will do it. The problem is they will forget after a while if you don't keep reminding people, hey, if you have, you know, that tree. And, of course, things are not constantly fruiting, so there are certain seasons that are much more active that way than others, but that's been a nice thing to do. And of course it fills several functions. We're actually not wasting food, which is great. It's a conversation piece, because you have this produce sitting on the table. People come over to see what it is, and then you're giving things to people, which is nice as well. People always like free stuff, and this is not consumerist stuff. This is actual food. So we've done a bunch of things like that. We are actually right now looking at, we haven't figured out quite how we're going to do this yet, or we've got a bunch of different options, but we would like to do a farm to table kind of luncheon or dinner for the cathedral, but also maybe even for the homeless. That's another one of the things we're thinking of bringing it in and feeding the homeless with this stuff. And then so getting one of the local farms to provide the food, and then we make it there. And we have some issues in terms of accessing the kitchen of the cathedral that are, anyway, that gets into some other nitty gritty. But food is, we've done quite a bit with food, but maybe not as much specifically food waste. So I do like that ugly food Sunday idea a lot. I'll bring that up at the next committee meeting, and we'll see where we go with that. I think that's a good one. We certainly have talked about, you know, using things when they are a little distressed and there is no reason to throw them out. We've had, again, some sort of simple living tips about that kind of thing. And that's something my wife and I are good at, because we're both very frugal and we just don't like to throw stuff out if it's still perfectly functional. So, you know, we have one of these green Honda Civics. It's 2000 and the California sun has blasted out the paint job. So it looks kind of like a beater, frankly. But it's perfectly functioning otherwise. And, you know, so it's an issue of, well, you're not supposed to drive a car that looks like this if you're upper middle class or, you know, whatever you aspire to. But we do, because I think it's the right thing to do. Now, we could get it painted, but we're too cheap to get it painted so far. So that's part of our quirks, I guess. Quirks and ways of saving money.
Good for you. Up here in San Luis Obispo County, of course, our county seat, SLO, is called Slow Town. And so there's a lot of things, slow this, slow that. And one thing that we promote in particular are the slow gleaners. We have a group that go out and glean, primarily in South County, but we're trying to get it to up here in North County also. San Luis Obispo County is the second largest county in California geographically. And so we have 300 vineyards in our county. And so we're not that that's a good place to glean necessarily, but it's still a pretty much an agricultural county. And tourism, of course, with the wine and the coast, you know, the Pacific Ocean. But yeah. So we're trying to get more awareness of food waste by supporting the slow gleaners. Now, I need to ask you a personal question.
Sure.
And this is not a trick question, not a loaded question. It's just for informational purposes. Do you find that your art influences your simple living, or that your simple living influences your art?
Well, actually, I'd say both. Let's see. In terms of the art influencing simple living, I mean, I guess there's a variety of things there. Because one thing is, as an artist, I tend to have a sort of aesthetic view of things to a certain extent. And I think that can influence things in the sense of, sometimes simpler is much more aesthetic. Now, sometimes it isn't. I like a good Rococo church, which most people wouldn't call particularly simple. But of course, there's a lot of beauty in simple lines, simple forms, and I tend to gravitate toward that to some extent. It certainly influences simple living here at home, or living at least, in the sense that I have to have a studio in the house, so that takes up our guest bedrooms. So it means the guests don't have any place to stay. But let's see. In terms of simple living influencing the art, well, there's a couple of things there. One is I do just like the idea of using things as fully as you possibly can. So, for instance, any kind of clothes that are finally, too holy, too ragged to wear become painting rags, and I use them all the time. I use them till they're caked with paint, and then they need to be thrown out. I also will sometimes scavenge stuff. My wife and I have been working for about a year now with what's called Showers of Blessings, which is a mobile shower unit for the homeless that's brought in on one Saturday, a month. Anyway, the last time I was there, the homeless tend to throw away a lot of their clothes. They just get too dirty, and they have no place to wash them. So I took a bunch of those, especially the heavier material, which are great painting rags, home, ran them through the wash, and, you know, I'm in the process of using those as painting rags. So there's that. In terms of subject matter in the work, nature is a big part of my art. Landscape. And I wouldn't say that people would look at my paintings and right away say, oh, you must be some kind of environmental activist. But it's certainly there. And often a kind of sense of nature under threat, nature that's been kind of warped into something else, hybrids and mutants and this kind of thing that make an appearance to a certain extent. All of that is kind of going on, and I do see it all as part of a piece. I mean, one of the things I'm kind of interested in, and I haven't done as much with this with Simple Living or any other group, but I'm interested in the notion of what would a truly sustainable culture look like, and now culture meaning kind of the arts, painting, sculpture, dance, theater, literature, music. Because in many ways, I think the arts have become rather overwrought and excessive as well because of this whole consumerist culture. You think about what would art that was maybe smaller in scale sometimes, or not as I say, kind of overwrought or overdone. I think of our movies are, I call it biff, boom, bang. You know, it's just explosions and huge CGI kind of scenes. And a lot of it is bad stuff. It's just not well done. It's excess for the sake of excess. We need to change a lot of that and have a more an aesthetic that is more deeply grounded in the truly important things about human life, which to me have to do with truth, love, beauty, you know, the old kind of standbys, the kind of classical virtues and so forth. So I am interested in that kind of idea, and I've thought for a while about doing some kind of forum along that line, but haven't actually put that together. So maybe that's ahead in the future.
I need to know if there is a website where your Simple Living group puts its ideas, or a Facebook page, so that others can see what you're doing and maybe do some of the same things in their own community, either a website or a Facebook page.
It's a web page of St. Paul Cathedral's website, but it is www.stpaulcathedral.org/outreach-simpler-living. We basically got sort of two pages there. We've got some of the current things we're doing, and then we've got some archive stuff, so people will get some sense of what we're about.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's a pleasure meeting you. I really hope we can meet face-to-face sometime.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. And listen, thank you so much for what you've done. And you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. And it's very impressive. I do think we're part of a larger movement, right, that's happening across the planet. And it's nice to make contact with other parts of the movement. So that's delightful.
Well, I have to share one final comment with you. I interviewed David Shy a couple of months ago. He's the author of The History of Voluntary Simplicity in America, former president of East Coast College. And his conclusion is that voluntary simplicity cannot be a utopian movement. It is not. It will not go mainstream. And he's been working on this a long time, that we have to be content with small groups and But it can't be libertarian. It can't be just about what we are doing individually. It must be communitarian. Mm-hmm. That we need to focus on what the community can do. But even when we do that, it's still going to remain small scale. Now, for you and I who want that to, we want to have everybody living simply, that's kind of depressing. But on the other hand, it's also, it doesn't make us feel defeated if that's all the we get done in our lifetime.
Yes, that's true. You know, and I would say, I mean, I think in the short term, he's probably absolutely right. And he may be completely right in the long term, too. But, you know, nobody, I think, would have foreseen that this first century rabbi would have created this movement that would just change the whole planet, right? Christianity. And it started very small, very oppressed, very countercultural. And yet it did. So, I don't know, and I kind of feel maybe that's the key too. That if we, that the more we can link up with kind of real drivers of values, religious traditions, and that, so it's a whole, you know, theology, ideology, as well as a way of life. The more we can link up with some of that, I think perhaps the further we will get with the sort of changing society thing. But who knows? We will see.
We have to realize that Jesus lived in a time like we are of tremendous income and inequality.
Yes.
He also lived in a time of powerful empires like we do now.
Yep.
So I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Granted, there was no Facebook page back then, but there was the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, exactly. I think I would have been a little more at home with a no Facebook page, although I am used to dishwashers and things like that. So, anyway.
Peace be with you, my friend.
Yes, with you as well. Good to talk to you, Terry.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with painter and simple living leader Phil Petrie. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to SimpleLivingWorks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or our Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, SimpleLivingWorks.org, window number 3. We've received a generous amount of response through email and Facebook recently. See links to the references in the show notes. Responses are preserved on the Simple Living Works website. In regard to the podcast with Ken Weigel of Advent Conspiracy, Leash wrote, "Love the Advent Conspiracy video. Great reminder." Also, Lily Wu commented on our Simple Living Works e-news monthly. "Jerry, I want to thank you for your e-newsletters. They are just overflowing with food for thought and action ideas for doing and sharing. This time around, I'm getting a good dose of the ever-talented and prolific Bob Seitz. Was introduced to Clark Howard while seeking out not to be bullied by Consumo, and even learned how to minimize my wardrobe. I always enjoy reading popular writing that helps people with getting on responsibly with their lives. It is also a good outreach tool. Friends who are not church-related are pleasantly surprised when they find out how practical, easy to read, and even fun a faith-based community can be through Simple Living Works information. Thank you. Lily R. Wu, formerly of the Lutheran Peace Fellowship Board of Directors and still an occasional editorial volunteer there." I responded, "Thank you so much, Lily, for your encouragement. I plan to use your testimonial in an upcoming podcast." And Lily replied, "Gerald, you're very welcome. Having been in nonprofit communications for most of my career, I know that a treasure trove like Simple Living Works doesn't come together on its own. I appreciate the time and energy to take to make it happen so that good ideas can be shared widely. And it's an honor if any part of my testimonial will be part of an upcoming podcast of yours. Lily." Well, it's great to know that folks are listening to earlier episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. For example, Episode 4, Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle, Part 1.
However, I receive hundreds of fake comments every month from folks around the world, most in languages other than English, who make comments, some of them completely nonsensical, just to get their website into my blog with hopes that others will notice what they're selling. A few comments sound possibly authentic. For example, mother and father and caregivers should supervise what youngsters watch to ensure there is no violence or adult material. Creating a television-free day once a month may train kids that theirs are many ways to be entertained. And another, outstanding post. However, I was wondering if you could write a little more on this topic. I'd be very grateful if you could elaborate a little bit more. Many thanks. And in regard to podcast episode number 16, Alternative Rites of Passage, we received this from Indonesia. You are so awesome. I don't think I've read through anything like that before. So nice to find someone with a few unique ideas on this subject. Really, many thanks for starting this up. This website is something that is needed on the web, someone with a little originality. Well, thank you, listener from Indonesia. In regard to the Simple Living Works weekly blog, in which we noted the article, Is Christmas Christian? By Richard Rohr, Tom C. responded, Except Christmas has nothing to do with Christ's birth. It was a compromise made by the church to celebrate the pagan holiday to help them accept conversion. Indeed, I've received in regard to the Christmas season an interesting diversity of responses. In regard to the Simple Living Podcast number 57, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Part 1, Pete K. said, Do what I do. It ain't Merry Christmas until my wallet says it's Merry Christmas, and at that, I don't buy gifts for any of my relatives anymore. A brother and his ex-wife ruined all that years ago. Other than for my service hearing dog. She is always spoiled silly. Smile emoticon. In regard to the podcast, Christ Was Born to Set Us Free, for Advent Sundays 3 and 4, that's the Whose Birthday podcast series, part 2, Lisa H. wrote, Advent? Christmas? Epiphany? Growing up in the Lutheran Church, I know exactly what these are all about, and none of them are scriptural. The Messiah of Scripture, Yeshua, was not born on December 25th. His birth has nothing to do with the pagan holiday of Christmas, and to imply that Messiah came to set us free from credit card debt is just beyond the pale. Please read and study the Scriptures that you may come to truth, Gerald. And I replied, Thanks for your thoughtful response, Lisa. Yes, there is something provocative, maybe even mildly facetious, about the cover art of Whose Birthday. I hope as you listen to the Simple Living Works podcast, you'll discover that we are involved in prophetic ministry, not in the gospel of prosperity. If you saw only this cover for Whose Birthday, you may not have realized that much of our art has been quite anti-consumerism, or as we say in our submission guidelines, art that reflects the tension between faith and culture. Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Challenges Christians to walk their talk. We have been promoting faith-based voluntary simplicity for over 40 years. As a rostered leader of the ELCA, I have led the organization for 15 years. We take our mission seriously, equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We have involved some of the preeminent thinkers and theologians of our time. Whether the church year is a human invention is beside the point. We deal with challenges that people of faith, in this case Christians, face daily, such as Christmas consumerism. Lisa replied at length that both Christmas and Christianity are frauds. Facebook allows account managers, like myself, to delete comments or unfriendly people or unfriend people who go off topic or abuse another person's space. Her rant is posted on the simplelivingworks.org, as are all comments that we receive. After reading Lisa's replies, Phil H. wrote, I don't know how I got this message, but I don't think it's true. This doesn't make sense. I think God has given us the Christ in Jesus. This is not a Roman idea, and the New Testament is the Word of God, and if it wasn't for the apostles, we wouldn't have the truth of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Finally, Michael O. sent this touching note of realism. Only the relative, and that's in quotes, poverty of retiring in 2009 has gotten me out of the debt cycle so important to the accumulation of obscene wealth by the cabal of international elites today. Sorry, cabal of international elites, I'm tapped out. Oh, and a lot happier. Your comments are welcome, too, by email at simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on the Simple Living Works Facebook page, or on our weekly Simple Living Works blog or twice a month podcast show notes. We plan to make Whose Birthday Is It Anyway available in multiple forms again in the fall of 2016 to meet your personal, family, and community needs. If you have an article or a piece of art you'd like to submit for Whose Birthday 2016, submit it while it's fresh on your mind. From mid-November to the 1st of January of this coming year, I'll present an audio version of Whose Birthday, Alternative's best-known annual resource. Regular listeners may think, well, didn't we hear that last year? Be assured that next year's is different from previous years. Even though Whose Birthday is no longer produced on paper, we still publish an online edition, and all 27 editions are available. See the link in the show notes. If you want to contribute an article or piece of art, take a look at the guidelines. Send it right away, electronically if possible. That's one thing that's nice about online publishing. It can be updated at any time. Yes, you can produce your own customized do-it-yourself Whose Birthday, or, if you're planning ahead for Lent and Easter, Who's Risen from the Dead Anyway? You're welcome to assemble and copy a version that meets your local needs. See the show notes for tips to create, produce, distribute, and promote your own version. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works, would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes that you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive our free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. And I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video, and links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Simply so others can simply live, learn to live simply so others can simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.